We read those two verses in James. I'm just going to read the first one that we read right now, James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And that verse there says, count it all joy. And then the three words I was going to focus on, when ye fall. There's a lot of things in life that we are rejoicing about. We rejoice today. We had to beat a new record. We rejoice with someone when they welcome a new member of their family. We rejoice with someone when they get promoted or get recognized for something that they've accomplished. A lot of times we don't think about rejoicing in what the Bible's talking about, different times of testings. The word temptations there talks about not sin, not tempting someone to commit sin, but the testing of persecution or the testing of trials or poverty or something bad has come into your life. A time of testing has come into your life, and the Bible commands us to count it all joy. And it's not, again, not speaking of temptation to sin, but of temptation, the testing that God allows in our life, because verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And diverse temptations, many different kinds, sometimes more than one at the same time, many different trials and struggles come into our life. And I was thinking of, I had this in my mind, I was trying to think of a way to illustrate it, and to be honest, I didn't have peace about it until I found the illustration. But one of the illustrations I was thinking about was if a advertisement for a pickup truck. If you ever drive down the road and you see a billboard, or if you see one in a newspaper or on TV, they always want to abuse the truck. They're going to drop 2 tons of anvil in the back of the truck, or the truck's pulling a tree stump out of the ground, or they're dropping a ton of bricks on the truck to show you how awesome this truck is and how much pressure and trials the truck can go through and still come out the other side looking great, shiny, and you want this truck. And you think about the Christian's faith, the trying of our faith, and we think about that kind of in the same way. We should rejoice that our faith can withstand the tests that God allows in our life. For you older people, I had to look this up online, but I heard about the old Timex commercial, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. The one I found, they had strapped it onto a boat propeller, and the guy's like, all right, we're lowering the propeller down into the tank, and I've been in this tank all day today. It was a live demonstration. He's like, okay, the watch has fallen off, but it's still ticking. I can see that it's still working. And that idea that the trial of your faith, the diverse temptations, trials, persecutions, heartaches, setbacks, the things that happen to you prove the faith was real. They prove that your faith is working in patience. It's been tried, tested, it's resilient, and it's found to be reliable. And a commentary I was reading, it said, it is well for us to have the reality of our faith tested in whatever way it may be done. Brother Gary sang a little bit about it. That song when we sing, it is well with my soul, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Whatever God allows, whatever comes into my life, I want my faith to be strong enough to take the anvil that drops from the sky or pull the trunk out of the ground or take a licking and keep on ticking. I want my faith to be that kind of faith. And if that's what works patience, if that's what proves my faith is what it should be, then I should rejoice when ye fall. That word ye, when tells us it's going to happen. The word ye tells us it applies to everybody. Brother Dan has mentioned the Great Commission many times. If you read it in the King James Bible, it says, go ye, therefore. And that word ye, we don't really use much in conversation today, but it's the distinction between you, because if you hear me say you, you don't know if I'm talking to one you or a couple of you, or I might be talking to someone else that's not even in this group, but the word ye means all of you or all of you all. And that's why we know the Great Commission is to each of us, to all of us. And when the Bible says, when ye fall, it's speaking to all of us as Christians, not some Christians back then and not a certain group or just a limited group, but all of you all. In the Bible, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he used that word ye. And in John chapter 3, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And that's how we know that it wasn't just Nicodemus that needed to be born again. It's all of us that need to be born again. The importance of that word ye, the importance of the word when, not if ye fall, but when ye fall into diverse temptations. Over and over again, the Bible tells us that we are not perfect, that we will stumble, we will fall. And tonight I'm not talking about sin. Some of the things I'm going to say tonight would apply to a Christian that backslides into sin, that begins to commit sin. This would apply, but I'm really talking about the testing and trials that come into our life, and we are momentarily shocked. We are momentarily set back, and when we fall, when ye fall, when it happens to us, what do we do with it? Again, we're all sinners. We all fail, and some of this could apply, but we're not talking about intentional sin. We're talking about discouragements, setbacks, honest mistakes, blunders, bloopers, boo-boos, owies, I have a two-year-old, failures in our life, the little things that happen that are not on purpose that they happen. Last night we went to see the snow carvings, and Aaron and Arnie were there, and Aaron was walking with me, and I said, be careful that you don't fall. This is I'm older, I've fallen many times, but I said, Aaron, be careful that you don't fall. And Aaron said, it's okay, I never fall. And I said, well, we'll find out. And by the end of the night, he'd fallen a couple of times. But you got to be careful. It's not if you're going to, it's when it happens. And again, not choosing sin, not sin, but the things that come into our life that test us, that test our faith. What happens, and when it happens, will we count it as joy? And that's really what I want to challenge you with tonight. When things happen to you, is it not just get me through this, let me get through the test, or can I count it as joy? Can I say it has worked together for my good? This is the illustration I found that really gave me peace about what I wanted to say and helps me explain it better than I could before. Two weeks ago, on January 14th, after 3 weeks of climbing, two men completed a free climb to scale the 3,000-foot-tall Dawn Wall of El Capitan Rock Formation in Yosemite National Park. The difference is this is the first time that on record where someone has free climbed, where they didn't have a rappelling rope, something that they were using to pull themselves up. They were only using gloved fingers and their feet. So they had gloves on. They had safety ropes in case they didn't hold on tight enough, but this was a free climb to climb the 3,000-foot-tall wall in Yosemite National Park. And it happened just 2 weeks ago. It's been over 50 years since someone scaled the top, and in some places there was only half an inch crevice where they could jam their finger into it to get a handhold to where they could climb. And sometimes, and obviously it took them 3 weeks, so when they stopped, they would camp on the side of the mountain. They had safety ropes, so if they did fall, they would always go back to where they had fallen and free climb that stretch or that pitch again, that section of the mountain. They'd climb it again because they wanted to be able to say at the end, I free climbed the whole thing. And it was a little article I was reading. In order to prove it, they would go back again and again. Every time they would fall, the safety rope would catch them, and they'd go back to the same spot and climb it again. And at the very end of the article, I'm reading this whole article, I'm not thinking about what happens when you fall, but at the very end, it says, well, what happens when they fall? And first I thought, well, they die, right? Because if they're climbing 3,000 feet up in the air and they fall, then they're going to die. But as they climb, they anchor themselves to the wall. They don't use the rope to pull themselves up, but as they climb and they accomplish a section of the mountain, they loop their harness through the anchor in the mountain, in the side sheer rock face, they anchor themselves. So if they fall, they only fall back to that one point. It says there's two guys, a partner who is safely secured, feeds the climber the slack as he ascends. When the climber falls, the partner arrests the rope with a device that prevents more slack, so the climber drops only as far as his previous protection point. And this is what really gave me the illustration that I want, because a lot of times when we talk about falling, we talk about failure. We say, it's over. The mountain climber falls. He's dead. But what I want to talk to you tonight is about those anchor points. Since when ye fall, since it is something that happens to all of us, it is a time of testing that comes in all of our lives, before you fall, plant some protection point anchors. Just like those climbers said, I'm not going to go all the way back down to the bottom if I fall. I'm only going to fall as far as the last anchor that I put into the rock. Plant an anchor in the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Don't fall too far. Don't fall past the promises of God. When a time of testing comes into your life and a fall happens, don't fall all the way back to the bottom. Fall back to your last anchor point, which hopefully is the Word of God. Plant an anchor in the Word of God and in the God of His Word. Plant an anchor of prayer and dependence of God. The Bible says in Philippians, bring everything in prayer and supplication. Make your request known unto God. Don't fall too far past depending on God and asking Him to meet your needs. There will be times, again, not talking about sin, there'll be times where something shocking happens to you. A heartache comes, a betrayal, a loss of a loved one. Something's going to happen and you're going to lose your handholds and you're going to fall. But only fall as far as the last anchor that you've put into the rock. Plant an anchor of forgiveness, which I was preaching to the junior church this morning, and we were talking about in the book of Mark where Jesus said, have the faith to pray and ask God to move mountains. In the very next verse, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. And that word forgive means forsake, lay it aside, leave it. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. When you fall, plant an anchor of forgiveness. Back to the mountain climber illustration. In those 3 weeks, they had a tent that they would anchor into the side of the mountain, sheer rock face that they would sleep at night. I can't imagine waking up in the morning, rolling out of bed, and you're 2,000 feet up in the air, and it's just hanging there. But that's how they did it, because there had to be a time to rest. They were obviously there for at least 3 weeks. They've been trying this for 4 or 5 years, and they had to have supplies. So there were other ropes where they sent up supplies where they could eat, and all these things that they needed that you would need if you're on the side of a mountain for 3 weeks. But there was a time where they had to climb, and they had to leave all that stuff behind. They had to leave the tent behind. They had to leave the food behind. They had to leave all that behind and keep climbing, reach out to find one more half an inch, a little crevice to reach into and take another stretch, take another section of the mountain. And they had to leave all that behind. And I thought about that when we pray to God and ask Him to do something big. We ask Him to move a mountain or help us climb a mountain or help us overcome those things that God has sent into our life. And then we cannot have that same ability to forgive other people. We trust God to move mountains. We trust God to work in our life. But then He's not big enough to allow us to forgive somebody. And those climbers said, you know what? I'm ready to take the next stretch. I'm ready to take the next mountain. But I need the tent. I need the food. I need all my supplies. I can't leave any of this stuff behind. And if we live our life that way, we're constantly held back by the people that we get comfortable in not forgiving. We get comfortable in the way that we live our life. And instead of asking God to forgive, instead of asking God to forgive us, and then forgiving others. In that illustration, the mountain climbers had to leave something behind so they could take the next section of rock and accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. To forgive means to send it away. We get too comfortable in our lack of forgiveness, and then we can no longer climb. We're happy at 2,500 feet on the side of the mountain. We're happy not reaching the top because we don't want to ask God for that next mountain. Don't fall too far past a readiness, a default setting, a readiness to forgive others. And then the next one I put down in thinking about these two climbers, have a partner, have somebody who watches and prays for you. In James it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe in being as independent as you can be. I believe as being as less dependent on other people. But I think we take it too far in this matter of prayer. I think we take it too far in this matter of, well, how do I look to everybody? I'm supposed to be a leader. I can't tell people I have weaknesses. I'm supposed to be the head of my home, so I can't tell my kids that I have a struggle. And the Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another. The Bible tells us, say, hey, I have a struggle. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody that's watching the rope. I need somebody that's giving me a little bit of slack and making sure that I'm not falling past the anchor point. The Bible says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth. And the Bible says in Proverbs, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And a man this week that almost brought me to tears because all he was telling me was that we were good friends. And he said, you know what, I know I can talk to you. I know I can share this with you, and I know that you'll respect me, and I know you'll pray for me. And I thought, What a great thing to say. What a loving thing to say to somebody. I know I can trust you. I'll let you hold the other end of this rope while I try to make the climb. That idea of having a partner, having somebody that's right there with you, that you trust and you know is praying for you and you're praying for them. Don't waste your planting and your planning time by saying, I'll never fall. Heartbreak comes. Betrayal comes. Depression comes. Loss and shock. Diverse temptations and tests. Won't, if happen, they will happen. When they happen, don't lose your anchoring time. Don't spend all your time that you should be driving that anchor and trusting in the Word of God, trusting in our prayers and confession and forgiveness and all those anchors that need to be in our life so we don't fall too far. Don't use that time to say, you know what, I'm beyond this. I'm going to go from 0 to 3,000, no anchors. I'm just going to go straight up. I don't fall. Don't waste your time saying I'll never fall. The Bible says in Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't waste your time and don't hurt your future testimony by saying, I'll never fall. I'll never succumb to an illness, to a shock, to a depression. It'll never happen to me. Don't say that. Just work on anchoring yourself on the wall so when you do fall, you don't fall too far. Instead, say, by God's grace, I won't fall too far. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I like salvation verses. I like, you know, there is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. I like it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But I think those are good verses for Christians too. I think those are good reminders for those of us that know we're going to heaven. We know we got it taken care of, just to remind us where we come from. To remind us it's not of works, not the works that we did before we got saved that got us saved. It's not the works that we did after we got saved that keeps us saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's gift. We didn't deserve it when we got it. We don't deserve it now. You can't do anything now to be worthy of it. When you fall, look for a lesson. There might be a better choice. On the way down, look for the next handhold that you need to grab the next time you conquer that part of the mountain. Because of God's mercies, we can begin again. In Lamentations, it says, the Lord's mercies, it's of his mercies we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. Don't fall too far. Look for the next time when you're climbing the mountain. Look for where to hold on next time. Remember that failure is not final. Kelly sings this song, failure isn't final with the Father. Failure opens doors to start again. Falling only hurts for a season. Starting over brings new life again. Oh, don't fall too far. And as you're falling, realize there's something there I can hold on to next time. There's another point I can leave an anchor. After you fall, climb again. The Bible tells us to seek to recover and to restore. Jesus told Simon Peter, he said, you're about to go through a time of testing. I think Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Something's going to happen to you, Peter. And Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said, Peter, something's going to happen. You're going to test your faith. That load of bricks is about to drop on you. There's going to be a time of testing. He said, when you get through it, strengthen your brethren. And the Bible tells us in Galatians, if one is overtaken in a fault or a side slip, an error, willful or unwillful transgression. If somebody is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When you fall, don't fall too far. Fall back to the anchor point. Fall back to where you last got with God and settled what you believed in, what was right, why you believe it, and fall back to that point of anchor. And then as you fall, learn from the fall. And when you do fall, climb back up again. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The difference between the just man and the wicked isn't that they don't, one falls and one doesn't. It's what they do after they fall. It's who gets back up. Plant some new anchors. Decide now that you're not going to fall far. Show someone else where to anchor their rope. Find somebody to hold their rope, and you hold theirs, and be their one that gives them slack, and the one that arrests the rope when the fall happens. The Bible says again in James chapter 1, our text, and I'll be done. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. 9 days before they reached the top, one of the mountain climbers said his fingers were split because he couldn't fit them into the half-inch crevices, and he had put glue and tape on his hands, and he had to take a couple days in that hanging tent to let his fingers heal, but he wasn't going back down. He said, "We're going back to the top." He said, "I'm learning new levels of patience, perseverance, and desire. I'm not giving up. I will rest. I will try again. I will succeed." And 8 days later, they did. Christian, rejoice in the fall. Count it all joy. Learn what you can. Plant an anchor. Don't fall far. If you haven't trusted Christ here tonight, we've already mentioned it, but if you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ, what are you anchored to? If you fall, are you going to fall all the way back down to the bottom? How far do you have to fall before you tether yourself to the one that shall not be moved? Songwriter said, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And the invitation tonight, as I said, if there's something that you hear tonight that you say, you know what, I'm missing a couple anchor points. I'm doing pretty well. I haven't fallen too far. But if I fall, I got a long way down to go because I'm missing a couple points where I should have stopped and anchored myself into the rock. The Bible says, "God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Tonight, plant some new anchors. Be a partner that prays and holds the rope. Don't be sidetracked with unforgiveness and anything else. Just watch and pray and hold on to the rope. Make sure you're holding on to somebody's rope and they got a hold of yours. Don't give up. Rest. Try again. Keep falling and rise up again. The man said, I learned a lot and I finally made it to the top. And it was through a lot of falling that they made it to the top. And I think it's a challenge to us. The just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is what we need. Thank you that we could have stopped and had an invitation after testimony time. We could have stopped and had an invitation after the special music. And thank you that we get, as a church, we get to have an invitation and just bring our hearts to you and say, "This is what spoke to me today. This is what I need to work on. This is where I need to put an anchor point in my life so I don't fall too far, so I can rise up again and serve you more." Help us each to do that. As a church, as individuals, help us make right what needs to be made right and change what we need to change. I ask that you bless this invitation and all that goes on tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.